It's six after the hour and the third hour of the Eric Erickson Show. That would be me. I'm glad to have you with me. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. If you would like to be a part of the program, I have put it off until now. I have avoided talking about it as best I could. But friends, we need to talk about Afghanistan. I know everyone's ready to move on. Well, you know, the media is ready to move on. The media is ready to move on. It's just, it's striking to me how rapidly the press chose to move on when Joe Biden's polling began to crater because of Afghanistan. But just because the media doesn't cover it doesn't mean it's not a problem. Just because the media doesn't cover it doesn't mean there isn't a situation that necessitates our attention. And to the extent the media is avoiding covering it, they're avoiding covering it because it makes Joe Biden look bad. The Taliban have announced a government. It will adhere to Sharia law, the radical interpretation of Islam. And at the same time, they are announcing they will form their new government on September 11th. They are now flying the Taliban flag at the American embassy that we abandoned. And the American State Department, listen to this. This is from The Hill, a publication I can't stand, but the story is accurate. I don't like The Hill because they lie on their social media for clickbait. They make wild claims in their tweets, and when you click through the story, it turns out they misrepresented what actually happened. But I am reading the actual story, not the tweet. The State Department on Tuesday expressed concerns over the makeup of the new interim Afghan government announced by the Taliban, including the lack of female leaders and the past actions of some of those appointed to top posts. A State Department spokesperson said in a statement shared with The Hill that although the Taliban has presented this as a caretaker cabinet, the U.S. will judge the Taliban by its actions, not words. We have made clear our expectations that the Afghan people deserve an inclusive government, the spokesperson added. The statement went on to note that the list of names announced by the Taliban earlier Tuesday consists exclusively of individuals who are members of the Taliban or their close associates and no women. Did you really think they were going to do otherwise? Among the leaders announced is Acting Interior Minister Shirajuddin Haqqani, who is currently wanted by the FBI in connection with the 2008 attack on a Kabul hotel that left six people, including a U.S. citizen, dead. Taliban spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid said the government would be led by Mullah Muhammad Hassan Akhand, with group co-founder Abdul Ghani Baradar serving as the interim government deputy leader. A number of the people listed in the government ranks are people we let go from Gitmo as a trade for Bo Bergdahl. And now, our Secretary of Defense has the audacity to say this.
Well, there's no question that it will be more difficult to identify and engage threats that emanate from the region. But we're committed to making sure that threats are not allowed to develop. There isn't a scrap of earth that we can't reach out and touch when we need to. We've demonstrated that time and time again. And again, our job is to make sure we stay vigilant and continue to develop capabilities.
There is no question it will be harder to identify threats in Afghanistan, says the defense secretary. What does the secretary of state say?
Without personnel on the ground, we can't verify the accuracy of manifests, the identities of passengers, flight plans, or aviation security protocols. So this is a challenge.
So we are having a hard time without personnel on the ground being able to identify people. Oh, wait, it gets better. Here's a little more from Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State.
As of now, the Taliban are not permitting the charter flights to depart. They claim that some of the passengers do not have the required documentation. While there are limits to what we can do without personnel on the ground, without an airport with normal security and procedures in place, we are working to do everything in our power to support those flights and to get them off the ground.
What did you think was going to happen, you imbeciles? What did you think was going to happen? You got out of Afghanistan when everyone said you shouldn't do it, Mr. President. You did it anyway. You got out. You left Americans behind after you said you would not leave Americans behind. What did you think was going to happen? You absolute imbeciles. Idiots. What is this? The Taliban are not permitting charter flights to depart, and without personnel on the ground, we're having a hard time getting people out of there. What did you think would happen? You morons. I'm trying to avoid saying bad words. You can't gather intelligence. You can't rescue Americans. The Taliban are flying their flag over the American embassy. They're going to form their new government on September 11th. What happened on September 11th that makes that day so significant to the Taliban? Wonder what happened that day. Oh, that's right. That's the day Joe Biden said he wanted to get out of Afghanistan. Of course they would set up their government on the day Joe Biden said he wanted all Americans out of Afghanistan. Of course. That's what September 11th is. No other symbolism there, I'm sure. I was talking to a prominent Biden supporter last night. Who's complaining that, you know, she supports the Biden administration. She supported him very vocally, fundraised for him, and she's just beside herself. They can't admit they screwed it up. She's tried to justify it. She's tried to rationalize it, and she's just come to the conclusion they completely screwed it up, and they can't acknowledge that they screwed it up. They screwed it up. They screwed it up royally. It's a deep doo-doo screw-up from this administration. That's the technical term. And we didn't have to. That's the thing. This was entirely preventable. This was entirely avoidable. It was something we didn't have to do. And he, to this day, still doesn't want to take questions. In fact, Joe Biden is delivering his remarks on healthcare and on coronavirus. He's just wrapped up in the last hour, and listen to this.
Competitive economy in the world. So, folks, you do it all. I'm sorry to go on so long, but I can't thank you enough for all you've done for the country and what you've done for me over my career. You've educated me. You brought me along. And you've always been there. Now, I'm supposed to stop and walk out of the room here. I'm going to stop. But with your permission, I'm going to walk into the room because I want to say hello to all. Thank you.
I'm supposed to stop and walk out of the room. I'm going to walk into the room and say hello. And say they wanted him to walk out of the room. Why are they guarding Joe Biden? They won't let him answer questions. They won't let him hold a press conference without pre-screened questions with designated reporters to which he's supposed to ask. We saw the one the other day where the National Public Radio, like the Pravda propaganda network for Joe Biden, dared to ask a question off script, and he turned around and walked out. What's going on here? What's going on? Now, I know where some of your minds are going, because I get the emails from you. I try to be respectful and not belittle you. Some of you think, well, he's doing this for China. This is all a setup. This is mysterious and sinister, and this is for China, and we're going to allow China to move in, and it's what the Chinese wanted, and Joe Biden gave it to him, and Anthony Blinken convinced him to do it because he's getting paid under the table by China. No. You complicate life. We live in a complicated age, and so people want to overcomplicate simple things. The reason is because Joe Biden's ego got the best of him. He never wanted to be in Afghanistan. He's wanted to come out for years. He's told people as much. In fact, everyone told him not to do it, including the State Department personnel, the Defense Department personnel, the intelligence agency personnel. They all said, no, President, don't do this. But he never wanted to be there. He wanted to prove himself right. And so he got out, and he will smugly and self-assuredly tell everyone he did the right thing. No one could have done better than him. Very Trump-like, by the way. I did the right thing, and no one could do better, and it was perfect. It was handled brilliantly. But the reality is it wasn't, and we all see that. No, there's not a sinister motivation here. And I know some of you, your brains now work this way. You're suspicious of everything. And in a world that's so complex, there's got to be some complex machine going on behind that's running everything. It's not really that. It's Joe Biden's arrogant and incompetent. It's actually very simple. And the arrogance and incompetence, he must now be shielded from it. They must surround him with, in the Christian lingo, a hedge of protection. So the hedge of protection is Jen Psaki blocking any reporter from asking him a tough question. Don't you go to Peter Doocy. Don't you go to Peter Doocy. Because they know he doesn't have an answer for it. And also, it's abundantly obvious from the way he's responded to questions. I don't know that the man is fully aware of what's actually happening in Afghanistan. Does he actually know that they're going to set up a government on September 11th just to spite us? How do you say F you in the Afghan language? Because that's exactly what they're saying to him. The Taliban has put into power multiple men who Barack Obama let out of jail in exchange for Bo Bergdahl. One of them is on the FBI most wanted list. They're going to form the government and swear it into power on September 11th. If that's not a big middle finger to the United States of America, I don't know what is. And the fact that no one in the media wants to point out that's what's going on here, you can't hide that from the American public. The American public understands it. The American public realizes it. And even Democratic voters are disgusted by it. The YouGov poll, the Economist YouGov poll, has Joe Biden's approval at 39% of the public approving. Slightly more than one-third of the public approves Joe Biden's handling. Now, you could say the number's wrong, but the trends for all the polls is there. He's underwater now. He's disliked. The man who was supposed to show empathy showed no empathy. The man who was supposed to be responsible showed a great deal of incompetence. And the man who said he could beat COVID back has let it run rampant across the nation. And his solutions are just to scream more and yell at people who haven't gotten vaccinated, and maybe to discriminate against the unvaccinated. This is not right. This is not partisan. This is not Republican or Democrat. It's American versus those who would kill us. And Joe Biden has empowered and enabled those who would kill us to now have a base of operations again that they haven't had for 20 years and help fund it for them and give them the weapons they need to come after us. We will pay a price for this. Probably after Biden's gone, we'll pay a price for it. And no one will ever hold him accountable for having done it. I wouldn't say I'm a chair snob, but I kind of am a chair snob. Y'all, I sit for 3 hours for radio, and then all the writing and stuff I do, I'm in my chair in my office a lot. And I bought one of those super expensive Herman Miller chairs, and I've traded it in for my X chair. The moment I sat down and it began to massage my back. I thought, this is the chair for me. Yes, my chair, my X chair, gives me a massage. It also can heat up. It can cool down. It's amazing. The massage, the temperature control, it's designed and made exclusively for the X chair. Once you feel the customized support of its patented dynamic variable lumbar, the DVL, they call it, your back will have never been so happy. What you do, go to xchairerik.com now. That's the letter X, chair, E-R-I-C-K.com for $100 off your order. X chair has a 30-day guarantee of complete comfort. And I can tell you, as a radio show host who spends a ton of time in my chair, X chair really does have complete comfort. So again, go to xchairerik.com now. Letter X, the word chair, E-R-I-C-K.com for $100 off your order. X chair has a 30-day guarantee, complete comfort. It's xchairerik.com. Take my advice. Get an X chair. This hour of the program is brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. I don't care whether you're in Abilene or Portland or Atlanta. First Liberty can help your business become a bigger business. If you are in charge of the finances for a business and you need a loan, big loan, six figures and above, to buy a fleet of vehicles, to build a new business, to build a building, let your imagination run wild. Reach out to First Liberty Building and Loan. Spend 10 minutes with them. See if they're a good fit. FirstLibertyGA.com is their website, FirstLibertyGA.com. That's their website. Just spend a few minutes with them. See if they can help you get to yes on a loan where big banks are saying no. Man, banks are turning people down at this moment. There is clearly something financial happening in the waters out there, and I'm not sure what it is, but I talk to a lot of finance guys. A lot of them listen to the show. I'm always amazed at the demographic of people who listen to the program, and a lot of finance guys, and they chime in occasionally with stuff I've said, that they refer me to stuff. It's been very interesting. I think you name the subject, I probably have a listener who's an expert in it. But the finance guys are overwhelmingly telling me now, and I'm not a finance guy, I'm just relating what they say, that things are not good in the market right now. Things are destabilized to the point that a lot of them just are not themselves comfortable in the market. And when they're not comfortable in the market, I am definitely not comfortable in the market. When they're concerned with finances in the market, I think we should be concerned with finances in the market. It's just become, I think, unsustainable. And if let's see, where are we now? We're at 2:30 in the afternoon. And yeah, the Dow, for you, those of you listening live, 2:27 p.m. on Wednesday, September 8th. The Dow is down 85 points. NASDAQ is down 94 points. The S&P 500 is down 8 points. The markets are just reacting. The Dow has fallen for the third straight day. Here's CNBC. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell for a third day on Wednesday as investors reassess the economic growth outlook following a smooth ride in the market so far this year. The Dow fell 100 points. The S&P 500 dipped 0.25%. The technology-heavy NASDAQ is down 0.6% after closing on Tuesday. The 30-stock average is in the red for its third trading day in a row. On Tuesday, the Dow fell more than 260 points, adding to Friday's losses. After a disappointing August jobs report, September's outlook also remains clouded by the coronavirus Delta variant. There are just all sorts of underlying fundamental problems right now in the market. You've got the shortages. You know, I'll tell you what's a shortage. Sports drinks. Have you been to your local grocery store? The Gatorade and Powerade has been gone from the shelves at my local grocery store. And I haven't just tried one. I've tried multiple ones and they're gone. And it's nationwide production shortages. The microchip shortage. The costs are up. The cost of beef is up. The cost of bread is up. The cost of milk is up. The cost of eggs are up. Costs are up. Inflation is up. It's hitting people in the pocketbook. And now they're talking about the Mu variant. The Mu variant. At some point, my kid's going to rush one of these variants in a college fraternity the way they're going. We got the Alpha. We're down to the Delta. We're in the Mu. Where does the Sigma Chi variant come in? The Kappa Alpha variant. Boy, that's going to be one heck of a variant right there. The SAE variant, that one will make you feel intoxicated. But things are not going well, friends, in the economy. And financial guys are starting to whisper about the upside down of the market and the instability long term, which means we should all be paying attention when the finance guys are starting to realize the good times may be coming to an end. Greetings and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Oh, I started to say Jessica Yellen, but that's the reporter I know. Janet Yellen. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned congressional leaders on Wednesday she expects the country's debt limit will hit its breaking point next month, dealing a likely blow to the global economy without quick action. In a letter to top lawmakers in both parties, Yellen said the Biden administration's best and most recent calculations suggest the United States will run out of cash during the month of October. If Congress continues to push off action on the debt limit over the next few weeks, she warned the uncertainty alone could hurt financial markets. We have learned from past debt limit impasses that waiting until the last minute to suspend or increase the debt limit can cause serious harm to businesses and consumer confidence, raise short-term borrowing costs for taxpayers, and negatively impact the credit rating of the United States. Hearkening to the 2011 debt limit standoff that resulted in the nation's credit rating being downgraded for the first time in history, Yellen cautioned that a delay that calls into question the federal government's ability to meet all of its obligations would likely cause irreparable damage to the U.S. economy and global financial markets. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have said they're going to force a vote on raising the debt limit without reconciliation, meaning that they're going to set it up so that it might be filibustered. They want Republican ownership. I think the Republicans need to tell them where to go and how to get there. The Democrats want to offer up a $5 trillion spending proposal, a $1.5 billion bipartisan infrastructure bill, and a $1.5 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, and a $3.5 trillion, I don't even know what you call it. We talked about it yesterday. Do you call it an infrastructure bill? Do you call it a human capital bill? Do you call it a Green New Deal? What do you call it? It's everything. Cradle to grave. Conception to grave, except Democrats don't believe life begins at conception. What do you call it? That amounts to $5 trillion in addition to the spending already done. There are all sorts of warnings about inflation. Why should the Republicans go along with it? There should at least be negotiations. There should 100% be negotiations. The Republicans should not go along with the Democrats expanding the debt limit. The last time this happened, we got sequestration. Now, a lot of conservatives, to my frustration at the time, didn't seem to understand what was happening. You know, normally when Congress gives you projections, they talk about cutting, and what the cutting really is cutting the future growth rate of something. So when Congress says it's cutting 10% of a program, what Congress really means is it's cutting 10% of the future growth of the program. And so a lot of conservatives said, oh, well, sequestration, when they're making these budget cuts, they're not real world cuts. They're actually future cuts to growth. That wasn't true at all. It actually was the Congress passing sequestration required that cut cap and balance, that they required that there was actual real cuts. It required a balanced budget. It required capping future growth. And so for the first time in 2011, when Barack Obama said, oh, the Republicans are taking them hostage. They weren't taking anything hostage. They were prepared to shoot the hostage, which is what I advocated for. Shoot the hostage. Make sure the Democrats know you mean business. You will not raise the debt limit. It is mythology to say the U.S. will default on its debt. We have a full faith and credit clause. What happens is other stuff can't be purchased. The U.S. government has to pay off the debt. There are requirements. Debts have to be paid. So the government will have to shut down. to pay the debts. Let them. Let the government shut down. It's not like there's blowback. You know, they told us there would be massive blowback in 2020 after Donald Trump shut the government down in 2019. Him shutting the government down in 2019 was the reason I decided I could support him. He was willing to shut it down to go to the mats to get a border wall funded. Now, he didn't get everything he wanted. He got some progress. The government got shut down, and guess what? The Democrats didn't do well in 2020. Have you seen what happened? Other than the presidency, they didn't do well. There's this mythology of, oh no, the Republicans are going to shut it down. They're all going to die. You would think the Democrats would be like, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down. But they're not, because they know it doesn't really blow back on the Republicans. The media says it blows back on Republicans, just because the media says a lot of stuff these days that's not true. We have got to make cuts. Our future as a nation is not sustainable with the debt burden we have. And the Democrats want to give a bigger debt burden. Now, listen, I can feel it in the force. I can feel it. There is some progressive newbie to the show out there saying, you didn't say anything when the Republicans were spending all the money. Like hell I didn't. I've been going after Republicans for their big spending ways. My problem is with the GOP. The only time they're ever concerned with big spending is when Democrats are in charge of the White House. They should be concerned with it at all times. But I'll take it now. They're concerned. We need cut cap and balance again. We need to defund Washington. It's not sustainable. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but China is about to force the world into a recession. China is starting to hit the brakes on the economy in China. And one of the primary reasons China is doing this is because China has concluded that it can weather it can wreck the global economy and weather the storm better than anyone else. So China has started going after major Chinese companies that are trying to list on the New York Stock Exchange. They've gone after debt offerings. They're not paying certain companies money that those companies are owed. They're wrecking their economy. And the reason is because the Chinese have essentially been cooking the books in China. The Chinese have been exaggerating their growth. China also does have, in terms of growth, because of its size and scale, an addiction to concrete. I read the other day 52% of the entirety of the world's building cranes are in China right now. They've been on a massive building binge. And it's not sustainable for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons is, don't look now, but China's birth rate has cratered. Yes, China's birth rate has cratered. The government is exaggerating the data, but people on the ground in China who are familiar with the actual data say China's birth rate has cratered. And it's going to start causing economic problems for China because the reproduction rate in China is negative now. They're going to have to force people to have babies in China after years of aborting all the kids and putting them in adoption facilities. Chinese companies have been spending too much money. The underlying economic conditions in China aren't good. And so the Chinese government thinks it's going to hit pause, cause economic calamity around the world, and then we'll be the first ones to bounce back. That's what they're thinking. It's another reason why Xi Jinping, the premier there, the president there, is going after really rich Chinese people. Because he doesn't want them to be able to spread their wealth around to garner benefits when he hits pause on the economy. It's coming. He also wants to carry over beyond the term limits set by the Chinese regime in years past. He wants to become president for life. He's heading China towards economic calamity, and he knows he's doing it. I mentioned to you earlier that you've got finance guys in this country who are starting to say, none of this is sustainable, guys. Slow down. Park your money somewhere safe. Things are about to get chaotic. The signs are all there. The signs are all there. If you're, by the way, if you're at retirement age, you better switch to bonds pretty quick. I've got friends of mine, and again, full disclosure, I'm not a financial planner. I'm not a financial expert. I rely on other people, but I rely on them enough to know and hear the horror stories that they got clients who are at or beyond retirement age who the stock market's been doing so well, they're just planting their feet and saying, I'm going to ride it out. And then they lose everything. And they're too old to go back to work. Nobody wants their decrepit geriatric self. And I don't mean that offensively. You know what I'm talking about. Guys, that you're past your prime. You're not going to go back except to be a greeter at Walmart. You need to be responsible with your money. And it may come as soon as October if Republicans refuse to go along with it. And the Democrats are setting up this clash as a way to blame Republicans for next year. I think the Republicans need to be smart about this. I think what the Republicans need to do is say, we will raise the debt limit, but we got to make some cuts. Real world, not cuts to future growth, real world cuts. We did it with cut, cap, and balance. We need the cuts. There are cuts to be had in the Defense Department. You know, I talked to a buddy of mine the other day, and he said, you know, I was deeply opposed to the Republicans doing this in 2011 because I thought that we would hurt the Defense Department. And he said, I've become in favor of them because we hurt the Defense Department. Well, what do you mean? I said, well, he worked in the Defense Department at the time. And he said, what he paid attention to is that the Defense Department, they didn't cut unnecessary spending. They cut the necessary spending. They didn't cut the waste, fraud, and abuse. They cut the weapon systems that we needed as a way to punish the government for making the cuts. He says, at this point, the Defense Department is clearly running an FU mission to the government and the public policymakers. They want all their waste, fraud, and abuse. They want their toys that maybe aren't necessary. So cut it all. Cut the budget. Cut the Defense Department budget. Cut the State Department budget. Cut the education budget. Cut everything. We've got to. Y'all, it's just not sustainable. And you know, if interest rates go up and inflation is going to cause interest rates to go up, the amount of debt service we're going to have as a country is not sustainable. Debt service alone is going to do us in. Remember, there are parts of the budget that are baked in. Social Security, Medicare spending, it's actually the smaller part of the budget gives us any flexibility. We need major structural reform as a country. And there's no appetite for it. Let's just acknowledge no one's interested in making cuts. There's no constituency for cuts. The only people who are constituency for cuts are the ones who haven't been born yet who are going to be saddled with all the debt. Everybody else wants the free ride. Everybody else wants all the money. Everybody else wants the big government expenditures. Even the conservatives in Washington who say they want to trim the size of government, they've been doing the free government, big government giveaway scam for years. There just aren't a lot of people who are really committed. And you've got to be committed. We've got to be committed. So if the Republicans can do this right and fight for cut, cap, and balance again, they should. The Democrats are setting themselves up for the fight. The Democrats could raise the debt limit by themselves in reconciliation and bypass the filibuster, but they've decided not to do that. They've decided to make the Republicans own it with them. If the Republicans are going to own it with them, they better get something in return. If you're going to give the Democrats permission to raise the debt limit, you, the GOP, better fight for something. If you don't fight for something, we should destroy you at the ballot box along with the Democrats. We should primary every last one of you if you don't stand up and fight for real world, meaningful, substantive, actual live cuts to the federal budget. And you're not going to be punished in the polls next year. You know that. You weren't punished in the polls after cut, cap, and balance. You weren't punished in the polls after Donald Trump shut down the government in 2019. You're not going to be punished now. So it's the right thing to do. You've got the clout and capital to do it if the Democrats aren't going to put it in reconciliation. You can filibuster it. Yes, they will blame you. Yes, the media will turn against you. Yes, they will attack you. Yes, you'll be the poster boys for fiscal recklessness. Yes, they'll blame you for everything. The voters won't. They will. The Democrats will. The media will. The voters won't. How do I know? Because they didn't blame you in 2011, 2012. They didn't blame you in 2019. They didn't blame you any of these other times. They never do. Voters forget. They move on to the next thing. And besides, what Joe Biden has done in Afghanistan and by failing to control the virus and causing inflation, they're going to blame him instead. So stand tall and make real cuts. If they want the debt limit raised, they got to give you something in return. Don't roll over on this. Y'all, I don't want you to roll over on Patriot Mobile either. I got to tell you, this company, they've got your back. They have domestic customer service. They're U.S.-based. So you're not calling Mumbai or Bangalore when you call Patriot Mobile. You're actually calling someone in the United States of America to help you. You find yourself tuning out the news. You're so tired of the woke corporations. You're tired of the wokes. Patriot Mobile isn't woke. They're a Christian conservative company. In fact, I did not realize my buddy Chris Wilson, who I have had on this program, he's a pollster for Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and a number of other great conservatives. He was one of the guys who helped get Patriot Mobile off the ground. It was his idea. And he's a great guy, solid conservative Christian dude, because he thought it's necessary for conservatives to have a company they can give money to that has their back, because the left does this all the time. The left started a woke company years ago for cell phone service that woke progressive activists use, and they give a portion of their profits to fund the left-wing movement. Patriot Mobile does this on the right. They fund the Second Amendment. They fund the pro-life movement. They help fund veteran and first responder causes. They have your back because they share your values. They are one of you. So you can do business with them and sleep well at night. What you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, or you can call 972-PATRIOT. You get free activation with the offer code Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You get free activation. They've always got special discounts for veterans and for first responders. And if you're a large family, they've got good multi-line discounts. You can save money with Patriot Mobile by switching to them. If you've got a lot of teenagers in your house that need a phone, God forbid. But if you do, they're there for you. You'll save money. Support a company that supports your values. Go to patriotmobile.com/Eric. That's patriotmobile.com/E-R-I-C-K. Or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. Hi there. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number, well, it's really too late for you to call. We just don't have enough time for you guys to call. You had your opportunity earlier. All right. The Wall Street Journal has this story. The Delta surge appears to have peaked in Florida and other states that drove the most recent COVID-19 surge, offering some relief after the variant upended what many thought would be a more normal summer. But cases and hospitalizations have been rising in many other states, including Kentucky and North Carolina, data shows. And public health experts say the return of unvaccinated school children to classrooms, cold weather in northern states, and the holiday season could revive the virus. Now, we've already known that weather and seasonality affected this, people being indoors. That's why it spread so much in the South, is people being indoors in the heat. People were outdoors in the North, and now people are going indoors in the North, and they're coming outside in the South. It's becoming very cyclical, and it's obvious. One of the things that frustrates me is the rage and anger of people towards the unvaccinated, a lot of whom have legit reasons for not getting it. And have you noticed now, Charlie pointed this out earlier, that people who are pushing the idea that non-vaccinated individuals need to be denied medical care are the very same people who say healthcare is a human right and everybody's got to have access to healthcare. You see what would actually happen. That in and of itself is problematic. The hypocrisy knows no bounds in this. Listen, I genuinely, truly, and honestly believe that the vaccines work. It's amazing to me the number of people who have emailed me, because I've recounted my wife's experience and recounted my experience. They're like, that's not proof that the vaccine works. It could be something else. People are grasping. I don't care if you don't want the vaccine. I don't think you should be made to get the vaccine. I think that vaccine mandates are appalling. I think the idea that the unvaccinated people should be treated as second-class citizens is horrific and leads to terrible things. But I do think the vaccines work. I also think that we've had an obsession with Florida and Texas because they're Republican states. And when these northern states like New York and New Jersey and Connecticut see massive viral surges, or Michigan with what's-her-name up there as governor, that the media is going to largely ignore it. They're going to largely ignore the story because they don't want to acknowledge the fact that it's a seasonal thing, not a Ron DeSantis thing. They want it to be a Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott thing, and so they will ignore it. But the cold weather season is going to drive people indoors up north, and we're going to see whether or not it's a Ron DeSantis thing or not. And I don't think it is, but I think the media will never point it out.